In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Hello.
Hello. I have you.
Hello.
This is very exciting for us. We've been away a long time, and we were bursting with energy, and we're ready to tell you something very important. Are you ready to hear the most important thing that you will ever hear?
Yeah.
Yes.
Excellent. There's nothing important. The concept of importance is based on a limited perspective. From your perspective, you might say that, oh, it's important to be good. It's important to pay your bills. It's important to have good credit. It's important for people to like me. It's important that I have a job and am a member of society and do things and get things done and make things happen and not be lazy and not be seeming to be like I'm not doing anything important with my life. The mere fact that you are here proves that whatever you're doing is important, but in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter what you do because you're here to expand through experience. And you can have an expansive experience doing nothing. And you can have an expansive experience conquering the world. But neither experience is more important than the other. There is no problems to solve. Therefore, there is nothing important that needs to happen. There is no wrong that can happen to you. Therefore, it's not important to safeguard yourself. Do you get it? There is nothing important. There's nothing serious. There's nothing big. There's nothing huge. There's nothing coming that's a big deal. It's all an experience of life. And this experience is simply a game. There's nothing going on here. Nothing of importance. So that means you have the absolute freedom to simply do whatever you want to do in the moment. If there's nothing important to do, then there's nothing you have to do. And if there's nothing you have to do, then all that's left is that which excites you. That's which is interesting and fun. Now, imagine approaching life from that point of view. From the point of view that you're here to be silly and have fun, to experience joy, and to figure it out as you go along. But there's nothing you have to do. There's no one you have to help. There's nothing you need to fix. There's no problem to solve. Everything is taking care of itself. You are not the creator of worlds. There is a system that creates the worlds. There is a system in place that makes sure that everything happens in response to everyone's vibration. And since the bulk of your vibration has been set on the day you were born, through the intentions you set, through the day of your birth, through the names through the family you chose, through the environment of your birth, through the trajectory that came from that, then all you really have to do is keep your focus on feeling good. And when you perceive that something important should be done or that something serious is going on here, then your focus is distracted away from feeling good and towards problems that need to be solved. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Excellent. Yeah. Then we are done here. Because in knowing that, that is the secret. That's the secret right there. The secret is there's nothing serious going on here. You cannot be more or less important than you are right now. You cannot do anything that will make you more important than you are now. So if you can't do anything to make yourself more important or more special than you already are, then you can give up trying to seem important, to look good, to be good, and you can focus strictly on that which you enjoy. Now, in that word enjoyment is joy. So joy is found in anything that you enjoy. And anything you enjoy, you are worthy of. And that joy, whether it's helping others, reading a book, or even gossiping, there is nothing wrong in any of it. But if you do it to be more important, well, then you're trying to achieve a feeling through the conditions, through the reality, rather than having the reality reflect the feelings you already have. You're going about it in the opposite way. So now, if you can relax, see if there's nothing important going on here, and feel what you want to feel first. Get that idea of that feeling you want to feel first. Emote that feeling out into the universe. Realize that all the other stuff is just noise. And the feeling of what you want to feel, of how you want to feel, can be created as a reflection in your reality. And it may not happen overnight. It may not be this instant. It could be, but it may not be. It might be that you have to go through a little series of events that subtly change the way you think about things so that you can more and more and more feel that feeling you want. And if you think about the feelings you want, they are found in the intentions you set prior to your birth. So those feelings include expressing your love, experiencing abundance and freedom and joy and interest and passion. And if you had the experience of life where you incorporated all those feelings, then whatever you were doing wouldn't matter. Wouldn't matter the job you had, the friends you had, the mates you had, or the money in the bank. Because if you were feeling those things that you intended to feel prior to your birth, then you would be living in a state of bliss. And in that state of bliss, well, it just turns out that you're more effective. You harness the power of the universe, and that you can become the manifester that you want to be in that aligned state of going with the flow of these universal powers that are accessed by focusing on what you particularly enjoy yourself. Does anyone have anything to offer regarding those ideas? Excellent.
I do. This is Genevieve.
Hi, Genevieve.
Hi. When you were asking the question, what feeling do I want to feel from it? What my question for today surrounds my inspiration to go back to this idea of a curriculum for, or a book, or I don't even know really what it is, but it has something to do with children and teaching these concepts, these ideas.
Let's start right here. The idea of that that's coming to you, that you've attracted this idea, do you want the feeling of being important?
No.
You write this book, you write this curriculum in order for people to respect you and to say, Genevieve is an important person because she's done this. She's accomplished this. Or is it simply the inspiration to share, to express your love, to bring forth ideas from the universe into physical form so that may benefit others?
Yes, exactly. And I also, I guess the first thing that came to me was the feeling of power, but not power over others, the feeling of power that each one of us has the potential for, being who we are, is what I want to personally feel.
So if you're being the authentic you, who you really are, and you receive the inspiration for the curriculum, and then you think about certain things, right? The first thing is you would like to get down and start writing. You'd like to put it onto paper. You'd like to bring forth the ideas from the non-physical to the physical. That's the creation that you're here for. That's the creative inspiration that you have. Some have it to write music or to write literature or to sing songs or to invent something, right? In your case, it's to bring forth these ideas from the non-physical to the physical and through you specifically because they resonate with the life that you've lived. It's part of your trajectory. It's part of your path. And when living that good feeling, aligned state of being, knowing that nothing is wrong and that nothing in your past was wrong and everything led you to this point, then you can know for sure that you're worthy of this idea that is coming forth through you. It's coming forth through you specifically and nobody else. No one else has this idea here who's doing this. The way that you lived your life up to this point puts you at the perfect place to bring forth this information. So you get this idea, and then what's the first thing you think?
What can I do?
So
today?
What can you do? What's the first step?
Today's first step was to check out some books on incorporating this into schools.
Okay. So you're 3,000 steps ahead there. Right? And in those 3,000 steps ahead, you feel fear. Because as soon as you say, read a book, and the book tells you how hard it is to get curriculum into schools, then you say, why am I wasting my time with this? Right? Because the book's not going to say how easy it is to do it, because then no one would need the book. The book has to say how hard it is. Right? Otherwise it wouldn't sit. If it was easy to do what you want to do, which it absolutely is easy, there would be no reason for these people to write books about how hard it is. Right. So, the first step is to write the book. Sit down and write two pages, right? Okay. And write two pages and write two pages. And the next day, write two pages. The next day, write two pages. And the next day, write two pages. And while you're writing those pages, if you spend an hour a day writing two pages today, and then you come back tomorrow and you write two more pages. Now, you can sit down today, and we will motivate you, or maybe inspire you, or maybe coerce you into sitting down and writing two pages, whatever it is, two rambling, nonsensical pages of mumbo jumbo.
Okay.
Right? And you can do that because here we are in front of all these people, millions of people listening to this on the podcast, who expect you to sit down and write two pages. And so the next time we get together, you'll say, I wrote those two pages. And you will write those two pages. And then tomorrow you will get up and go, I should write two more pages. And then you will have fears. Well, you know, I don't have an hour. Or it's, I don't know what to write. Or I got, you know, to get a job. Or all these other things, right?
Yeah.
You have an hour to do anything. So those are just fears. So you push through the fears and say, I'm going to spend 1 hour this morning or 1 hour this evening. But before I go to sleep tonight, I will have two pages written. And then you do that the next day, do that the next day. And while you're doing it, you will feel fear and exhilaration at the same time. You will feel fear before getting started. And as you're typing, you will see how easy it is, how fun it is, how interesting it is, how these ideas are coming to me that I never thought of before. If you just allow yourself to go with the flow, you received the inspiration to write those books. Whenever you receive the inspiration to do anything, that is your message that you are ready, willing, and worthy of it. It is for you. You have lived your whole life. What's the point of living this whole life and receiving this wonderful inspiration if you're not going to act on it? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, acting on it is not going to make you better than not acting on it. The experience of acting on this inspiration and bringing forth non-physical information is not to benefit the world, is not to make things better, is not to enhance anything other than it's fun to do. Okay? So you take all your result-oriented thinking away from it and say, I don't care if this ever gets published. I don't care if anyone ever reads it. I don't care if it makes me millions of dollars. I don't care if anyone respects it. I don't care about anything other than this hour I'm spending typing, 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 typing. Because what you're going to find is these nuggets of brilliance are going to come through. And you're going to say, where did this come from? Where did this come from? This is amazing. Where did this come from? This is amazing. How did I think of that? I'm amazing. Right? And the more you think you're amazing, the easier it will be until you don't think you're amazing, and then the harder it will be. But it's not you. You are a vessel. You are simply putting fingers on a keyboard and punching out words that correspond to these thoughts that are coming into your head. And those thoughts are being given to you because you are worthy of it and you are destined for it. And this is part of your purpose and this is part of your plan and part of your path. And this is a small, tiny part of it, by the way.
Okay.
As you start doing this, you will gain confidence. And you will suffer all the way through it all day long. And suffer and suffer and suffer until you begin to let go. When you let go of your attachment to any specific outcome, and you just do the stupid thing that's in front of you, the silly little typing of a few words, if you just do that day after day after day after day after day after day, nonsense after nonsense after more nonsense after, I don't know where this is going. I don't know what I'm going to do with all this. Why am I wasting all this time? If you push through the fear and push through the fear and push through the fear and think about the limiting beliefs that you have, you are good enough. You don't have to doubt yourself. The doubt doesn't do anything. You will not be a vibrational match to the finished project until you have gone through all the steps of typing out all the words, and 100,000 words later, you will have something. And then you'll be a match to whatever you have at that time. And then from that perspective, you can see where everything is going to go next. But from where you are now, you have not expanded by the experience of typing, typing, typing day after day after day after day. You have to have faith that you will know what to do in 2 months or 6 months or a year from now. Because the process of you continuing to do something every single day will change you, will expand you, will cause your vibration to raise, so that at the end of this process, you will go on to the next step.
Okay.
Things will flow from there.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Hey, Joshua.
Hey, Isabel.
So I got the inspiration to write a children's book.
Excellent.
And I started it.
Yes.
And I laugh because I ask them all the time. I'm like, are you sure? And they say yes. And I say, okay. But I feel like I can collaborate with them because I say to them, I'm like, look, I want it funny. Like, I want a sense of humor.
Why do you want it funny? Why do you want to stick your wants in there?
Because it's me. Because I want to enjoy it.
Gary wants you all to get something out of this. Gary wants you to make major changes in your life so that he can see the result, that this isn't all a waste of time. Right?
Okay.
But he can't see that. It's not for him to see. He won't know if this is beneficial in a month, in 6 months, in a year, or 10 years, or 100 years, or 1,000 years. Right? That's not part of it. Certainly, there are certain parts of this that he wants more than other parts, right? And certain subjects that he's interesting. And so he fights with us and works around it. But why? What's the point of that? What's the point of any of that? He cannot see past his own limited perspective. So when you can't see past your own limited perspective, there's only one thing you can do. You can have faith in the process.
Mm-hmm.
All of you want to know how it's going to work out. But there's no benefit to knowing how it's going to work out. In fact, if you knew how it's going to work out, you'd be less interested in this, right? Because you still try and steer it into another way for it to work out. From this master perspective, from this top perspective, from the perspective of source itself, there's a way in which things unfold in alignment with universal forces. And everything else is resistance. And you can resist all you want, but it's going to come out as it comes out. And what may be funny to you as Isabel in this vibration, in this incarnation of Isabel, might not be funny to the 4-year-old or 6-year-old or 8-year-old or the parents who are reading the book. They might not get it that way, right? So if you try and say, I have the inspiration to do this, but I want it to be this way. Well, what you're saying is, I have the inspiration to do this, but I'm going to do it my own way, so why do I need the inspiration anyway?
So you can't collaborate?
Well, you're absolutely collaborating, because the thoughts are coming to you, and what you decide, how you decide to interpret those thoughts is up to you.
Okay.
Okay. So this isn't coming out in Spanish or French. It's coming out in English.
Right.
Because we're co-creating, we're collaborating with Gary, who speaks English. It sounded a lot better in French.
So wait. Nikki loves that. So wait, let me get this straight. So I am co-collaborating because my interpretation still has
written all over it. Absolutely.
Still has me. But don't get tied to the words that are coming through me because that's consistent.
Yeah, because now you're putting your own attachment to an outcome on it.
Okay.
So let's just imagine that some information is coming through you for children.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What we, Joshua and Gary, put together is not for children. It's not even for 99.999% of the population.
Right.
It's for a certain set of people who have come to a certain desire to understand more about the universe than is available elsewhere. Right? So if Gary says, well, let's make it more general, well, what's the point of that? There's plenty of general stuff out there.
Okay. You know? I see what you're trying to tell me. Okay.
If we make it more, Gary says, if we make it more general, maybe there'll be millions of people. Right?
Okay.
And for one, Gary's not ready for millions of people. And for two, that's not what this is.
Right.
Right? So just write what comes out. And don't judge it. Because in thinking it's not funny is a judgment based on your perspective.
I think I was trying to convey like more of an ask. I think I was like just really excited to collaborate, to be honest with you. Like.
So have you written one word?
I have. And it's not funny.
Yeah, well, maybe not yet. Maybe it builds to it.
Right. We'll okay.
See. So you're not going to know how it turns out until the final word's written.
Right.
And even in that time, you're not going to fully understand what's going on while you're writing it.
I agree with you, yes.
When you've written it and you go back and you look at it, you can see how, that's interesting, that's interesting, that's interesting.
Right.
That's interesting, that's actually funny. I never thought that was funny before. Now I see it. Now I see how that could be funny to a six-year-old.
Yeah. Right? And it's hard for, like, for example, I was, I don't know if it was my idea. Well, I have no ideas, but I was like, oh, an alien. Alien would be really good in the book. And they were like, yeah. So it's like, it's hard to tell if I'm creating, but I know you've said that we attract all thoughts. So
what if you simply just sat down and wrote without any clue what was coming out?
Okay.
Without it wanting to be anything other than what comes out. Without trying to guide it at all. If you just did that, do you enjoy this process of sitting down and writing?
Yes.
Or is it painful?
No.
Yes. So just enjoy that process. Enjoy that process.
Okay.
Let it flow. Let it flow. Don't worry about what people will think of it. Don't worry about, is this actually for children or is it for adults? Don't worry about it ever being finished. Don't worry about any of that. Just keep typing and typing and typing and typing and typing and typing. And then see what happens.
Yes, it's hard for us not to be attached to outcomes, and it's hard for us not to plan.
Right. So take the approach of a stenographer. You're simply dictating something that's already been written.
Mm. Mm.
That allows you off the hook because it doesn't mean anything about you.
Yes.
It allows Gary off the hook because it doesn't mean anything about him. They can criticize the book, and Gary can say, well, that's not my book anyway. You know, it's something else. They can love the book, and Gary will say, yes, I'm an awesome writer. Right. Because what's the benefit of being attached to something that people hate? There is no benefit. And what's the benefit of being attached to something people love? Well, you might as well be attached to it then.
Right.
Yep. But if you take the approach that this is something weird that's happening to me, coming through me. Let's see what this is all about. And I can write my own book later. Let's just see what this is right now. And I can always change it later. They can't control my fingers. I can go back and edit and change things if I don't want to and add in some jokes then. Once it's done, it's done. It's mine now. I'll hijack the whole thing. Take their name off, put my name on. No one will know except us and the 6 million listeners of us.
That's funny. All right. Thank you. That's actually very freeing. Excellent. I like the idea of just a stenographer.
Good. Who else has any inspiration to do anything ever in the whole world?
Hi, Joshua.
Hello, Arno.
Can I carry on that theme? Mm-hmm. I had a question about expectation, but where you were describing to Genevieve earlier about, you know, that moment when that inspiration hits you when you're writing and then suddenly an idea that you wonder, where does that come from? I know that's happened to me, and yet, and I've heard you say several times, you know, just sit down and write whatever comes through your head, etc. And I've started doing that a few times, and for some reason, I just abandoned that reason. I can't. Sometimes it's just not satisfying, and I wonder, is it because?
Well, is the idea that it's not satisfying because now you're getting scared?
Yeah, do I attach too much importance to my expectations?
Well, to what the words mean to you, to what people will think of them, to if you can share them with anyone else, to is this ever going to turn out to be anything? Is this all nonsense, right? Every word you type, is you're placing importance on it. Is this the right word at the right time? Is this going to lead to the story? Is this going to lead to a dead end? Does this make any sense to anybody? Is this going to work out? Is this going to work out? Is this going to work out? Right? So that's fear, 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 every step of the way. Instead of faith, 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 faith. Because who cares? Who cares? There's nothing important going on. Who cares if people like it or don't like it? Who cares if anything ever happens to it? You don't have to justify your existence by producing anything. All you have to do is enjoy what you're enjoying. You obviously enjoy writing. That's obviously something that you like when you're doing it. But you say, oh, I don't really like it when it's hard because, you know, things aren't coming out easily, right? But the only reason they can't come out easily is because you're judging the words as you write them.
I think what I'm struggling to, what I'm struggling with is to hook up on an idea that I can follow a thread, and I've not.
Because you think
that
you have to know how it all unfolds before you even start.
Yeah, probably.
Why? Why not just free write? Free write, free write, free write, free write, free write. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? If you didn't know any better, if you didn't know how this whole system worked, if you hadn't met us before, you can't just free write. You have to have an outline, and you have to have a plot, and you have to have a storyline and a hook and all these literary things that make sense. But now we tell you that you get into a state of alignment, and you create by bringing forth these thoughts that come to you that you've attracted, based on who you specifically and uniquely are, and bring forth from the universe into physical reality. And that's what every single writer does, whether they write a song or a book in an hour, a day, a year, or over the course of their life. It's the same thing. You can bring it forth easily. Have you ever heard of a musician who wrote a song in an hour or a song in 10 minutes? Happens all the time. Some of the best songs ever written were written in 10 minutes. Just pure inspiration. They wrote the whole thing down. It was done. People have written books in a day. Well, an entire book. Just by writing it down. Right?
And I felt that before. Yeah. I felt that when I had that inspiration and I could write something I was really satisfied with. Because I hooked up on that thread.
So just know that every single time you stop, it's fear. Every single time you don't feel comfortable, it's fear. Okay? Because you want to know how it's going to turn out. You want to know what the end result's going to be. You're attached to an outcome, and you think it means something about who you are as a human being, which it does not. You could write the greatest work of literature that's ever been written, and it doesn't make you any more important. It doesn't make you anything something other than who you are now. It will give you a different experience of life that may be good, may be bad, considering on your perspective. But it doesn't change who you are at all. It doesn't mean anything. Nothing means anything. It's all based on your perception of things. So the idea is that you can struggle in fear, or you can let it flow in love, and it can be shit in fear, and it can be shit in love too. It's still going to be your opinion at the end of the day after it's all said and done. But it's going to be a lot more enjoyable process to write this shit in love and just have fun typing, than resist, because the resistance part is never going to be fun.
Yeah, I want it to be fun.
Yeah. So just think of it.
There's no point.
The only thing I'm doing is having fun for this hour I'm banging around on a keyboard or scratching out something on a pad or letting ideas flow forth from however I do it. Right? However you choose to do it, to bring forth that energy, whether you record it into your phone or you sit there with a pad of paper and a pen or you bang out something on your computer or you sing a song or you talk to strangers, however you do it, just do it because it's fun and interesting and enjoyable, not because it's going to turn out to be anything. Because in that hope that it turns out to be something, then you start guiding it and you start moving it and you start going 30,000 steps down the road and thinking, oh, this is a big waste of time, or, oh, it's not turning out the way I wanted it to, or, oh, it should be different than it is, before it's even finished.
Is consistency the key there?
Well, it's consistency in processing fear. You say, I'm going to write today. I feel fear. What's that fear about? It's a fear that nothing's going to come out. It's a fear that's not going to be good. It's a fear that it means something about me. It's a fear of missing out on something else. It's the fear of loss. It's the fear of all this stuff, right? But that's because you're attaching meaning to all this stuff. And there is no meaning necessary. You can make anything mean what you want it to mean. So this art of processing fear is the art of perception, saying, I have this inspiration to write. I'm going to get up and write, and I'm going to do it for as long as I do it. And if it's 2 pages or 10 pages, that's fine. And then I'll go off into the rest of my day. I know I have a little fear about that. I have a little fear that I could be doing something else or this is going to be a waste of time. But no, I'm going to go down and write it out. And at the end of the day, every single time, in a history of times, if you sat down and written something, you felt good at the end of it, right? Yes. Because it's all about the fun, enjoyment, and interest of writing for you. And there's lots of other things, too, but this writing thing is fun and enjoyable. And when you've gotten a page done, the process of that whole thing, sitting down and typing and writing it out and having something that you've brought forth from non-physical to physical, that's why you're here, bringing forth stuff, creating. You are creators. You are like gods like that. God is a creator. You are creators. In the image of God, so are you. Right? You are a creator. Yeah. So create. Don't be afraid of creating. Just create. Start creating.
Okay. I will do. Thank you.
Sounds like you're a little doubtful there. Pull out some more stuff there. Pull some more. We haven't dug into that enough.
No, because I've been there before, and I think it's just a matter of faith in me. It's just balancing those fears and expectations.
Okay.
And
how long ago was the last time you wrote something?
Not long ago. Actually, I wrote something today, but that was something for, it was a work related thing. And
when was the last time you wrote something for pure enjoyment?
Probably at the weekend.
And what was it you were writing?
Last weekend. It was just purely something I was, purely a brain download about more me-centered, but...
So what was it like journaling?
The creation that I want to do and that I was talking about is more about fiction writing and really creating something.
So you are inspired to write some fiction.
Yeah, I think where I'm stuck is that I feel like I can't proceed because I haven't got a spark of inspiration.
Well,
strong
the inspiration is to write a novel. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Let's start there. The inspiration is to write a novel. Okay. Now, you think before you can start writing this novel that you have to know what it's about. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What if you didn't have to know what it was about?
I like that concept, yes.
Have you ever free written anything?
I have, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And has anything come out, or did you just get stuck?
I've written short stories, and but that's what I mean. I've not come up with something free written that has made me want to carry on with that thread. Okay. So it's just
We will help you out a little bit here. Okay. What is the emotion that you want to convey in a novel?
I want to write something that is uplifting. I want someone reading it. The novels that I like the best are the ones that make me feel like when I'm attached to the characters and I want the story to carry on afterwards. I feel like I've experienced something vicariously through the characters.
Think about the feeling that you want to convey. What's the feeling?
Feeling uplifted, elation, love, I suppose.
Okay. So let's imagine that the feeling is elation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, that feeling of elation that you want the readers to feel, that you want to feel yourself, is that going to happen at the end of the novel or the beginning of the novel?
It's going to... I want the reader to be thrilled from the start. It's going to happen.
Thrilled is a different emotion, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you were talking about uplifting and elation. You think about that, though. Think about that feeling of elation, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen is the story that you create is going to start at one place and end at another place.
Of course.
The end place, if you're talking about elation, is going to be higher than the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Since you know where you're going to end, but you don't know where you're going to start, it doesn't matter where you start. Because the end will be there. Right? So, if you're thinking about elation... thinking about the story of elation, the story of upliftment, the story of empowerment. And you sit down with that feeling, you'll attract thoughts. You will attract... You have a little problem here because you believe in time. You have this fundamental basis of this physical reality based in time, time and space. And you say that it's going to take a certain amount of time to write this book. And a certain amount of time to manifest this desire. So we'll say that this book is already written. And all of your desires are already manifested. And all you have to do is come into alignment with it. Right?
With it. Mm-hmm.
To become a vibrational match to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first day that you start typing will be the first day that you become a vibrational match to the first part, the first words. And the day you finish typing will be the day you become a vibrational match to the end. And who you are now is not who you will be at that time. So you can't see how it's all going to unfold from where you are now. All you can do is do the first few words. And then the next day you will be expanded to the next few words. But the entire book is written already. The entire book that you're thinking about is completed. And all you have to do is download it. And you download it by becoming a vibrational match to the first words one day, the vibrational match to the next set of words the next day, and so on 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 until it's done. But you could sit here and think for years about this book, right? But in years, you're going to be a different person than you are today who has that inspiration. The inspiration to write this comes today because you're a match to that inspiration today. You're going to be matched to something different tomorrow. So do what you're a match to today and then forget about tomorrow, because the only thing that matters is today. Today is the only thing that matters. Imagine that this day is a life. So in this day, you can't have a whole book written, right? You can't have it all written and published and do book tours and accolades and have it turn into a film all today. Today, you can just do what you are inspired to do today and then forget about anything else. And then tomorrow, do what you're inspired to do tomorrow. But you have the inspiration. So don't let fear stop you. Because all they are is little fears. Right. Right. So hold in your mind the feeling of elation that you want to spread. And then listen for the thoughts and type them out onto your computer or write them on your pad. How do you do it? Computer or pad or talking into a phone?
Computer.
So type them into your computer. Don't even read them. Type them in your computer. And then the next day, get up, read what you wrote the day before, and continue. And the next day, get up and read what you wrote the day before, and continue. It could be 20 minutes a day. It could be an hour. You could do it a couple times a day.
Yeah, that sounds exciting.
Okay.
I'll take that different stance again. Yeah.
How about this? How about you and Genevieve work together to hold your feet to the fire, to process fear together, and to co-create this experience where you're supporting her and she's supporting you, and just to write something every day?
Good idea.
Yeah.
You up for that, Genevieve?
I am.
Or anybody who wants to write every day, that could be a good...
I'm in, Arno. Yes.
Excellent. Good. All right.
Yeah.
Who's got something else inspiring that they're not doing because they're scared shitless?
I'm not scared, Joshua, but I would like to know, how can we practice and get better at not thinking 50 steps ahead? I'm sure everybody out there has just, you know, we just tend to so much in our brain think about, oh, what's going to happen next? Oh, what about this? And what about, I want to learn and practice how to shut that down as much as possible. Cause I know it's just going to be, you know, it's a normal reaction for us humans to just do that. But how do we slow that? Stop that.
Do you meditate?
I do every day.
Okay. So in meditation, you can understand when a thought is coming to you. And in meditation, the idea is to have a thought and then ease the thought out. Notice when another thought comes in and ease the thought out. Slowing the thoughts as they come in, because when you first meditate, they come in rapid succession, and eventually, over time, you get good at the practice and you ease thoughts out. They always come, but you'll ease them out. The benefit of meditation is to understand what the thoughts are. and that they resonate with how you're being at the time. You attract the thoughts, just like you attract everything in your reality. And a beneficial thought, an empowering thought, comes to you when you're in alignment. And the urge to change the conditions comes to you when you're in fear. So as you practice being in alignment more, you'll naturally receive more beneficial thoughts. More, and those thoughts aren't fear-based. They are love-based. And those thoughts are, what can I do now? What can I do now? Get into a habit. What can I do now? What can I do now? What's the most exciting, enjoyable, fun thing I can do now? What's interesting to me now? And then the thought comes. That is the next step, whatever that is. That's the next step. Now, when you're thinking, oh, I should be doing something. I'm not, you know, I'm not making any money. I need to do stuff. I need to get things sorted out. I don't like where this is. I don't like where that is. Then you receive urges, and those urges are 50 steps ahead. Or when you have the inspiration to do something and there's a thought that comes to you, you're going to have a little fear, little pockets of fear are going to race up around those even inspiring thoughts. The thought is to take this step. Urges, fear is going to come up, and urges will come in to say, well, what about 50 steps down the road? The practice is, just as in meditation, ease those unempowering, limiting thoughts out of your head. It's a practice. It's just like anything else.
Okay.
You identify the thought. Is that thought empowering or limiting? If it's empowering, okay, let's take the action. Let's do what is in front of me. If it's limiting, you say, well, I don't have to worry about that now. You talk yourself through it. That's not a big deal now. That's not going to mean anything right now. I'll deal with that when it comes up later. Right now, okay. I'm going to do this. The thought is, call your mother. I don't want to call my mother. It's not a good time. She's just going to nag. She's just going to ask me about something I don't want to talk about. Now's a good time. You got the inspiration to call your mother. Fear's going to pop up. You talk yourself out of that fear. You say, I wouldn't have the inspiration if it wasn't for me. If it wasn't the most most beneficial thing that could happen for me right now, I wouldn't have had the inspiration in the first place. It would not have come to me. There's something in that. There's something in that inspiration. So I'm just going to do it. I'm going to have faith that it's going to work out. And then you call your mother, and it turns out to be something good. Or a manifestation event that's going to help you identify a limiting belief. But either way, it's good, right?
Uh-huh.
Do you see how we cover our bases so that everything's good? It could be a good thing in your perspective, and it could be a manifestation event, which is also a good thing.
Yes, I see that.
If you can learn to identify your thoughts as either empowering and beneficial or limiting and based in fear, then you can say the empowering and beneficial ones are the ones I'm going to act on, and the limiting ones are the ones I'm going to deal with, process, analyze, talk through, move away. Ease out, regain my alignment, and act on the inspiration. It's a practice. It's a practice.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right. So there's no reason to succumb to fear.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a fear, all you're doing is going to either succumb to it or push past it.
Okay.
If you get better at pushing past fear, which you are getting better and better at doing, if you get better at pushing past fear, you are going to build a confidence. And you're gonna create more experiences and expansion and move forward and momentum. It's gonna lead to the manifestation of more and more things. It's gonna become easier and easier and easier and easier. And again, you're gonna move to higher levels and face more challenge. So this is an interesting game. This is a game that when you get good at this game, the game gets more challenging.
Of course it does.
Right?
Yes, yeah.
But it's more exhilarating that way.
It is, yeah.
Because when you move through higher levels of expansion, which is inherently based on the sort of reaches of your perspective, the leaps that you're taking makes the next step more and more and more and more exhilarating.
Okay.
So it's never this idea that you're ever going to get done. That you're never going to get to this place where everything's easy. You're going to get to a place where you're going to rationally and thoughtfully look at what's happening and perceive it in a way that's more empowering than you might have before. And okay. That's the only thing that's going to make it easier for you.
Yes. Okay. I get that.
So what's the inspiration?
What's the inspiration? What, that I have today?
Sure.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, think about the inspiration.
Uh-huh.
Just keep thinking to yourself. What am I inspired to do? What's calling me?
Bikram Yoga is calling me right now.
Excellent. And what's the inspiration? You're even afraid to say it.
I'm trying to find it.
Because if you say it, that means you're going to have to take the next step.
Well, what do you mean, what's the inspiration? Why am I inspired to do Bikram Yoga?
What's the inspiration? There's something calling you.
There is? There is something calling me.
What's the inspiration?
To feel
say
good.
It.
Say it.
Say it.
Say what? I'm trying to figure out the inspiration to feel good, joy, happiness.
Well, that's in there, but what's the inspiration around yoga?
What's the inspiration around yoga? It makes me feel wonderful. I love it. The inspiration to do it, just the feeling that I get from it is...
And what's the inspiration?
I don't know. What is the inspiration? Tell me, Joshua.
We could.
Tell me.
We'll let you stew on that for a little bit.
Come on.
Who else is inspired? Who else is inspired? We'll come back.
Hi, Joshua. This is Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
I don't know about inspiration, but I did want to... just check in because I've had 3 or 4 days where I was really believing the illusion and I wasn't aligning with my higher self. And even as I was doing it, I could, you know, it's like I saw it, you know, it's sort of like, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, we say like, once you've gone to AA and then you drink, you have a belly full of AA, you know, and drinking doesn't work. And it's the same sort of thing, like going back and thinking about something that I know is a limiting belief that isn't true. And I can see myself going there and I'm, you know, seeing it, I'm in fear, I'm not feeling good, and so then I write all the fears out, and I coach myself up, and I meditate, and you know, I have to say, it's been 4 days, and today, I actually, during my meditation, I just started laughing. It was like, I just realized this is a game, and this is, you know, here I go, I jumped on that old horse again, and I guess the good news is that I didn't judge myself. And, you know, my ego didn't come in and say, oh, you shouldn't do that or this, you know better. You know, it was sort of like, this is the process. I said to the universe, I want to get really good at processing fear. So I got a whole load of it. So, yeah, so I've been thinking more empowering thoughts today. I'm feeling better today.
Tell us how you process the fear.
Well, meditation,
so how does the meditation help you process fear?
Well, it centers me and it slows down my thought. I think it's when I connect with source during meditation.
How are you connecting with source during meditation?
Through my heart, just asking for help. No.
No.
Okay.
How are you
energy,
physically doing?
Energy. Energy.
What kind of energy? How are you getting the energy?
So it's in me, source energy.
So you're getting into alignment. So how are you getting into alignment?
I'm seeing it as neutral.
Well, that's very good. You're seeing it as neutral. So what you're saying is you're seeing the fear is not real.
Yeah. I know it's irrational.
You, in meditation, you're slowly easing out the thoughts. You're easing out the good thoughts and the bad thoughts. You're easing out all thought. And in that natural state of no thought, you're in alignment.
Yeah.
Until a negative thought comes into mind, and then you dip down a bit, and then you process that negative thought, you ease it out, and then your natural state is alignment. And then you feel a negative thought, and you ease it out, or you feel it, or you process it, or you look at it, and you say, why am I attracting that thought? What is that thought based on? What are the conditions that are out there? They're triggering some limiting belief. What's the limiting belief? Right. Mm-hmm. The limiting belief is that I'm unworthy of the life I want. That's nonsense. I've paid my ticket. I'm here in reality. I'm unique. I'm living life as I intended. I'm worthy to explore anything that I want to explore in this reality.
Yeah.
Why is alcohol, why doesn't it work?
Well, it works for some people.
Well, it works for those people who are enhancing their alignment. But it doesn't work for anyone who's trying to change the conditions.
Right, yeah,
just like
for
nothing
sure.
works for anyone who wants to change the conditions in the long term.
One thing tricky for me is attaching to specific outcomes or to my attachment.
Or to knowing what's going to happen. Knowing how it's all going to turn out.
Well, that's a different thing.
Tell us. How is it different?
Well, for me, yes, it's true. I want to know how it all turns out. But if I stay in the present moment, I've still got this attachment thing going on to a specific person, and I feel a little bit in prison. So I say, I want it to be more fluid. I want my relationships to be more fluid. I don't want to hold things so tightly. I want to be able to.
You want it to
accept-
turn out the way you want it to turn out. So you understand this is simply control, right? So it's you have two choices, control or allow.
Yeah.
That's your two choices. And by wanting it to turn out a certain way, wanting the person to be happy or the person to be this or that, is denying how things are going to turn out. Right? Imagine, if you will, that you're in a story. You're in Arnaud's novel. And it starts out a little bleak, but by the end it's exhilarating. Right?
Yay.
Okay. You don't know how it's going to turn out to be exhilarating. We're just giving you the ending. Did someone... Was that a burp? What was that noise? We heard a gurgling. So imagine that the end is going to be exhilarating. And the beginning, to get to the end, is going to build this momentum of excitement and drama and all this stuff's going on. This trajectory towards... that exhilarating moment at the end, that final act, right? Which could be every single day of your life if you want it to. However, you're saying, I don't want this character to do this because it's making me feel bad right now. But the idea is that you get to experience all these feelings. And in the end, it's going to turn out so that you can feel exhilarated. So arguing with, it's like reading a book and saying, I wish he didn't write that. I wish the author didn't write this. I wish this character was different than it was, you know.
Yeah. And on some level, I've created everything that I'm living. And
You've
I don't get...
every word. On some level.
So...
On some level. On what level is that? Of course, you've written every single word.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've written every single word. You've put every single period, every question mark, and every exclamation point in the entire... novel of your life. You create it all. You are the creator of your own reality. You created every single thing. Okay. Now, you create through the vibration you are offering. And that, your reality is reflected back to you, back to the vibration. So you know what you're creating when you create it. Just like you can go back and read what you've just typed. That's what your reality is. Those conditions that exist in your reality are the words on the paper that you wrote up to this point in time. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that make sense to everyone?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So once you've written the words are perfect. because you're creating a perfect masterpiece novel. And you don't need to change a thing. You just go from here. And if exhilaration, if excitement, if joy, if love, if that's what you want, then write that now.
Right. But I'm not in charge of the characters.
Really? The author isn't in charge of the characters?
That's very funny because I was just reading your book, Health, Wealth, and Love, and that's exactly what you say, that I can have any relationship I want with anybody I want.
Right. It's a match to your vibration. So what's the vibration you're offering? What's the relationship that you're having with the people in your life? Why are those relationships there? Because you need them to be there. Because that's the vibration you're offering right now. Now, if you offer a new vibration, then those relationships will completely change in some form. Either the people will change or they will change themselves. But it doesn't matter. You don't care necessarily if those people are still there or if they're still the way they are.
It's right? easy for you to say that in non-physical. It's not so easy in physical reality.
It would be easy if you weren't attached to this outcome that you're trying to control and hold on to. If you were to say that I choose to express my love unconditionally and I choose relationships where I can be my authentic self and allow everyone else to be their authentic self. And this is what I truly want to explore right now. Then, and I don't care how that happens, whether it's all new people or all the same people. Your fear is that even the idea of that is going to cause things to change and that you have a possibility of loss.
Yeah.
Okay. You've already experienced what you've experienced. Right. It's going to be different tomorrow no matter what because you're going to change tomorrow anyway. Right.
Yeah.
You're gradually moving towards where to go. But by this acknowledgement that now you leave it up to your highest good rather than to try and control it and say, if this person leaves, I know that they may not be in my physical reality or may not be the same relationship as it always is has been, but that something will take its place that will be more of a match to how my desire. And the reason that you can't get what you desire is because you're attached to what you have now. But you don't know if the people in your life are going to change to match you or if you're going to get new people. But either way, it's going to be what you want. Right. So you're saying that what you have now is wrong, but what you have in the future could be wrong too. And you better... You're at least with the wrong that you have now, you know what you have rather than the wrong that you have in the future. But if you're called to something, if you have this inspiration to something, you know, why not explore it? Why not? Because why? Why are you afraid of exploring what you want?
Fear of negative emotion.
Exactly. We couldn't have said that better ourselves. That's exactly what you're fearing. Fearing of negative emotion. What's the negative emotion?
Fear of loss.
Fear of loss or fear of loneliness, fear of
financial insecurity.
Financial insecurity, fear of things not working out.
Yeah.
FOMO.
It's pretty. Yeah. So I'm just trying to control things.
You're trying to control things. You're trying to figure out a way to have the security and
adventure.
And adventure at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's working. It's working pretty good. You have security and adventure. So you're saying to the universe that it's more important than I have this false sense of security.
Right.
And this uneasy adventure rather than what I really want. Because I'm afraid to take the risk. Because I think that it could all blow up in my face. Because I don't trust the universe. I don't trust myself.
That's not true. I do trust the universe.
No, you don't.
I do. I do believe that it's a false sense of security. I don't really care about the security. For the money, I don't care. It's my heart I'm worried about.
Why would you worry? This is a fun exploration anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a game.
Yeah. So you can't get it wrong. You're just getting a little more clarity. And now you know that by not doing what you want to do, you're screwing up the game.
Yeah.
By sticking around and making things everything as they are right now, you're screwing up your game. Because you're not taking your the action you're inspired to take, so you're screwing it all up. You're settling for less than what you could be. But that's not true either.
No. Expansion either way.
Expansion either way. You cannot fail. It's impossible. There's no way you can fail. It is not possible to fail. You expand this way or that way. You get to explore this or you get to explore that.
Okay.
So what is it that you prefer to explore? Well, that's apparent in the reality that you're exploring right now. Because right now, that's what you prefer. When that changes, then you'll be exploring something else.
Yeah.
So you can say, I wish things were different than they were, but that's not true. That's just resistance to how things are. Because what you wish for is exactly what is happening. Everything that you've ever wanted and will ever allowed yourself to accept is what you have experienced. And everything you have not experienced is what you have not allowed yourself to accept. And we can say it's fear, and from our lofty position, we can look down and say that the fear is limiting. But that fear limits you from driving 150 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the fear is not a bad thing. It just means that you're not ready.
Right. Okay.
And when you're ready, whether that's this life, the next 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 life, maybe you'll dangle your toe in the water and have a little faith.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who's next? Kyla, how's everything going with you?
Good today.
Excellent.
It's been a lot of ups and downs, but more ups than downs the past few days. And like always, I'm getting feedback from the universe. It feels instant sometimes once I've, or maybe not instant, but just good reminders. I've been searching for different opportunities for sort of what my next step is. I've been applying for various jobs and gigs, but it's been very much out of feeling like I have to obtain security or like I should be doing something. And so I've been getting lots of chances to just love myself through that entire process. And last night, after a day where I just had this empty feeling, and so I just set it all down and focused on playing and appreciating everything around me and being grateful for what I do have. And even still at the end of all that, still just having this empty feeling, just allowing that to be okay too. Like Nikki was saying, just meditating and seeing it as neutral and ridding myself of all thoughts. I decided to lay down for a sort of, and this was maybe an urge, I don't know, but lay down for like an extended meditation session with a, you know, set an intention and do that. And right before I did that, I had the thought to get online on this freelancing website. And the perfect thing, I'd been asking the universe early in the day, just make it obvious, just show me something that I can't say no to, you know, that I can't find any reason not to go for. And the perfect thing just popped up in my reality. And I did what you were doing in terms of, like, when it came to writing the cover letter, I just shut out, or I guess, I don't know if I processed really quickly, processed all the fears, just told myself every reason that I was perfect for this position. And it all just flowed. And I pulled up my resume, which I've been, you know, changing for all these different positions that I'm trying to get. And the way that it was pretty much perfect for the way that it was as I had originally written it, was pretty much perfect for this position. And so I just stayed up until it was done. It was late and I thought, oh, I should get sleep, but I just couldn't stop or didn't want to stop. And so I kept going and sent it off. And, this morning I had a message back from this woman wanting to have a Skype call. And so it was just, it felt good, but it also felt like, well, yeah, of course I got a message back from her, because I'm for the first time in applying for all these things like this one, I just knew that it was mine. I knew that it was for me. I expected to hear back from her in that way. So it was really exciting.
Excellent. All right. So imagine, let's talk about this idea of security.
Mm.
So let's imagine that you get a job and the job pays mm-hmm. you a certain amount of month, right? Mm-hmm. And the job allows you to feel secure. Does the job really allow you to feel secure? Or are you choosing to feel secure because of the job?
It gives me an excuse to feel secure.
Right. And because the job isn't guaranteed for life, right? The job could disappear tomorrow. You have no idea. So you are choosing to perceive security in that job. Conversely, you can choose to perceive insecurity in having no job. And that's all your choice of perspective. And mm-hmm. it sounds like it's easier to perceive security when there's a job and when the money's coming in and that sort of thing. And that's why the economy works the way it works. Everyone has a job and they're feeling more confident and they buy things and the economy grows because more people have jobs and everyone expects to have a job and then they have to hire more people and then everyone spends the money they get from the job and they feel secure in the job. And so they go out and buy houses and cars and vacations and clothes and everything. And then they start to freak out. And then the first person loses their job, and that cascades down into this law of expansion, and it contracts. Well, that's just everyone's excuse for feeling good when the economy's good, and everyone's excuse to feel bad when the economy's bad. So you're choosing the conditions to make how you feel, but in this feeling of insecurity that lingers within you at all times, you'll always be worried about losing your job. And so in this worry about losing job, you will feel fear and you will come out of alignment and you will act on urges to make yourself maintain this job, you know, and you'll make these decisions based on this fear. And these will be self-defeating, essentially, or reconfirming insecurity decisions. A more effective way to do it, but not necessarily in line with your set of beliefs, is that I am here in this environment where I cannot die and nothing bad can happen to me because I'm an eternal being and you can't even point to you because this is not you, right? This is just a massive community of cells that you have some influence over and allows you to move around in here, right? In this environment. But that's mm-hmm. not you. None of this is you. You are this spiritual being that's guiding this thing around with this illusion that that's you. And in order to live in this environment, you have to have a job and you have to do certain things.
Yeah.
Right?
The
idea is to separate yourself from that and just have faith that literally nothing can happen to you. It's not possible that you will always be taken care of. And that when you sit down and meditate and get yourself into alignment, then you'll be inspired to do something that will align with your desire, right? And mm-hmm. and the desire to have security is a valid desire, just like any other desire is, right? And so you can manifest anything that way. You can manifest this job and you can manifest other jobs and you can manifest anything. But if you get caught in this trap of saying, okay, I got a job, now I'm secure, but still not believe it down here, wherever that is, you know, you're going to have that same insecurity problem the rest of your life.
Right.
Okay. So another thing to remember, too, is that you did not come into this reality with a boatload of confidence. Well, we should say that you did, but you did not choose that path of this abundance confidence idea where some people did, right? So you were born with this as a baby knowing that you'd be totally taken care of at least until age 6 or 10, right? And you said you could figure it out for that. But you also knew that you would be coming in here to get some limiting beliefs so that you could be fooled into this idea that abundance is not for you, that you're not worthy of abundance, or the abundance is a struggle for you, or it's one of your things or one of your issues, right? Or one of those things that, you know, is a blockage. You're blocked in some way. That's not true, but it is something that you wanted to experience. What would it be like to come in as this eternal, unlimited, abundant, free being where this area of your life works like that, and this area of your life works like that, but this area of your life works like this, and that area works like that? That's what you wanted to explore. But now you've explored all that, you can flip a switch and change it. And you change it by feeling secure, by feeling confident, by processing those fears, by doing what you did to get yourself into alignment, to get yourself in the flow, to get yourself feeling as if you have millions of guides and supporters and the inner self who is with you every step of the way, and that you can do anything. You get into that feeling, and then you allow the non-physical information to come through you, the surge of energy, to do what you just did last night. And that's effective action right there. Mm-hmm. That's the most effective kind of action. Instead of, I'm going to send my resume out here and here and here and here and here. Okay, that's just doing stuff out of fear, right? Mm-hmm. You can see the difference. You can feel that difference in that. Get into alignment, get into the flow, feel the inspiration, move in that direction, do it until it's done, and then see what happens with that. The lawns are being cut. The leaves are being blown.
It feels like, so what you were talking about this body not being me, I feel like I've come to really understand that. I mean, I obviously forget it, and maybe that's where the discord actually comes from. But so I feel like it's easy for me to see that and feel that and understand that. And I feel like my discord comes from not knowing how to operate that as that in this physical reality, where that's not the way that things are done.
What do you mean it's not the way that things are done? It is the way that things are done. By the most successful people, that's how it's done. By the massive fearful people, it's done the way you're talking about. Get a job, have a, you know, punch a clock, 9 to 5, do something you hate so that one day you can retire. Right? Have a house, have a car, have clothes, go on vacations, keep up with the Joneses. That doesn't work. It's obvious that doesn't work. That doesn't mean anything. It's all an attempt to appear to be worthy, to get some feeling of worthiness out of the conditions. But that's never going to happen, no matter what you do, no matter where you go. Gary started by building this one company and building and building and building it, and then realized nothing was happening. And so he sold it. And then he started something else, and he built that and built that and built that, and realized, okay, well, there's money coming in, and I have some friends here, but there's nothing satisfying from it. So he started another business, and bought another business, and kept building and building. And he goes, there's nothing happening here. So then he started buying houses and buying property and trying to look like he was a success. And he and all his successful friends would sit around saying, this doesn't feel right. There's nothing going on here. There's no soul to any of this, you know. We can distract ourselves with these parties and this travel and stuff, but at the end of the day, we're just finding stories that we can tell each other of how good we are. And that never, ever felt good to any of them. Not one of them. And so, luckily, Gary lost everything. He didn't think it was lucky at the time, but it turned out so, right? And so then, he was forced to refigure all this stuff out. It doesn't mean that it's any better of a life, but it is a lot more satisfying. Because now he's connecting to what is real. And what is real is that the power of the universe is contained within. And it's delivered into physical reality through the non-physical thoughts being manifested as physical things. And in his case, it's words on paper or houses that have been renovated or winning poker tournaments or relationships or building a community of like-minded people. Where now what he's doing is not amassing money or trying to feel important or secure, but he's creating. And in that act of creation, what is happening right here, these words coming out of his mouth, in this recording of this conversation, and it's going into a podcast or into YouTube or wherever, and being some physical, tangible, physical thing that was coming from non-physical into physical, now it's this thing. And this process is what is life-giving. That's the only thing that matters. This doing of this right now, right? Not for money, not for fame, not for accolades, not to be pat on the back, not for anyone to think that he's something special, but just the creation of what's coming in his mind and out of his mouth, or when he's typing, in his mind and on the computer. So when you find that thing that lights you up because you're creating from the non-physical to the physical, then everything else will fall into place because you are supported by the universe. And if you have to get a job to support yourself while you're creating this other stuff, or if you get the inspiration to, you know, buy Bitcoin 2 years ago or to, you know, write a song or write a short story or write a children's book or write whatever it is or do something creative or have a meditation group or have a podcast or whatever it is, you can have a job and create at the same time. And you can say, well, the job supports this creation and at least I'm creating an hour a day. You know, but the universe will support you not by showering you with tangible physical things, but by giving you inspiration to do what you did last night and to do all the other things that you allow yourself to do. Because the universe could give you the inspiration to create anything as long as you were a vibrational match to that creation. And the way you do that is by giving up your set of beliefs and by processing your fears. Okay? So you have two choices. One, well, you have two things you have to do that you, if you want to manifest your desires. If you want to become a vibrational match to whatever it is that's in your, you know, creative thing. You learn to be in alignment and to receive inspiration, and you learn to act on that inspiration by pushing past fears. So receiving inspiration, pushing past fears, as you know.
And forget sometimes, but yeah.
So the key to that is being in alignment so that you're doing exactly what you did to get into that state of alignment so that you can receive the inspiration. And then when you did that, the energy that you felt was a little bit different than the other energy of the day. It was a different energy than washing the dishes or putting away the clothes. It was the energy of this power surging through you. Didn't feel different? That's how you know. Very good. We haven't talked to Wendy today.
Well, hello there.
Hello, Wendy.
How are you?
Excellent.
I'm feeling really good, Joshua. I went through some hellacious stuff with migraines and body aches and all this crap. And finally, I just decided that that's how it's going to be the rest of my life. And I accepted it. And guess what? It went away.
Well, you ease the resistance a little bit. Plus,
I let go of the resistance.
Yes. Plus, Mercury is in retrograde.
That's right. Yeah. Aquarius or something. Yeah. Something's going on. But I just let it go, and I've had such clarity, and I've felt empowered, and I'm on an upswing. So I'm enjoying the upswing.
Excellent. So what's the inspiration?
Well, my inspiration is I really am enjoying my animal communication and just, like, going for it and not giving a rat's ass what anybody thinks about it and enjoying myself.
So in the past, say a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and if we had said to you, what you're going to be doing is communicating with animals.
Yeah.
What would you have thought?
I would have thought, oh, that's exciting, but there's no way I could do that.
Right. So you had to become a vibrational match to that idea before that could happen for you.
Absolutely.
And so every step of the way in the one-on-one and these conversations and the round table and all that led you to where you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so had you known how it was all going to unfold, it wouldn't have worked because you would have thought, that's ridiculous. I could never do that.
Right.
That's why you don't need to know what's happening. You just need
to
go
along
with
it easy.
Yeah, and I kind of like that now. It's much more fun. Yeah, because it's a wonderful surprise. And it wouldn't have been a wonderful surprise a year ago. But once you got to be a vibrational match to it, it made so much sense.
Yeah, and it's allowed me to empower myself in other areas, too, like with the mother-in-law and all of that stuff. It's like, I tried to get mad and upset the other day, and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it.
Yep. That, from a higher perspective, the issues, the problems, the animosity, the resentment just sort of slips off because you can't say that it's the other person anymore. You can only say it's a limiting belief. That's all you can say, right?
Yes.
And if you're creating your reality, the only way that you can feel negative emotion is if you have a limiting belief. And the benefit of that negative emotion is that you identified a limiting belief, or at least you had the opportunity to. And so now you have to say, I not only don't want you to change other person, but I thank you for bringing this up.
Yes. And you're what a wonderful role you're playing, yes.
You're not going to be able to do that every time. But if you get conscious of the fact that it's impossible to feel negative emotion without a limiting belief. So that means if you feel negative emotion, there's a limiting belief. And that limiting belief is always, always false. And so all we have to do is figure it out. Or look at it. Right. Or say anything. You're... mother-in-law or the mother-in-law says something that you take to be negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
She may not have meant it to be negative, but you're taking it as a negative. And so you say, look at that. Isn't that interesting? I wonder what that belief is. Is that belief that I need to be different than I am for her to like me? Or that I have a fear that she's going to get in the way of the love that I have or the time that I have with my children, or she's going to change their opinion of me by saying something, right? And you can say, well, that's an irrational fear. Is it true? Is it always true? Is it true for me? No, it's not true for me. It's not always true. It's not true at all. Whether or not my children or these people love me makes no difference because I'm here to love them.
Right.
And I'm not going to control their opinion of me because they don't know who I am. It's impossible for children to know who the parent is.
Yeah,
it's impossible for the mate to know who the mate is. It's impossible for the parents to know who the child is.
Right.
Because everyone's playing a game and no one's being completely authentic. And so you will take you lifetimes to even understand who you are. And that's why you're here on Earth. And that's why you're talking to us. It's only to get a better understanding of who you are. But even you don't know who you are. Because you think you're a much more limited version of yourself than you really are. So, if you don't know who you are, how can they know who you are? And so, none of that matters. So all you're going to do now is say, I'm just going to do what I'm inspired to do. I'm going to love as much as I can. And that love is evidence in the fact that I accept them exactly as they are.
Yes. Yes. Without needing them to accept me. Because, like, I'm totally understanding that they don't know me. They can't know me. No one can know me.
Right. And if they don't accept you, what's that based on?
Their fears.
Their fears. Their limiting beliefs.
Their right. filters.
Right.
Yeah.
If they invite you to something and you say you can't come and they get angry with you and want you to come anyway, it's not you. You're not being a bad person. It's that they have a fear that if you don't come, things will be bad.
Right.
Which is true.
Or it's a reflection on them or whatever the case may be. But
exactly.
Yes, and that whole blame thing, I'm really starting to look more and more at things that how is this for me?
Right.
Why, you know, this happened, so how is this for me? What am I holding back? And it's interesting the ways I hold back. It's interesting for sure.
Do you have any experience with teenagers being embarrassed by their parents?
Oh, yes. My children, that was their norm. They were always embarrassed by their mother.
So does that mean that you were acting in a way that was inappropriate? Or were they feeling fear that they would be judged based on how you were acting?
Yeah, they were feeling fear. Also, okay. Sometimes I was inappropriate, probably.
Good. Good for you. So you are giving them beautiful manifestation events that they can hopefully figure
exactly.
stuff out with.
They grew from those experiences.
They expanded.
That's
right.
That's right.
And
right.
as they're more comfortable with who they are, do they get embarrassed by you less?
Yes.
Right. Now, when you get old and tottering at some age, 40, 50 years from now, they're also going to feel fear because they don't want you to die.
Right.
And they're going to, every time you forget anything or can't hear or can't see something, they're going to freak out.
Yeah.
Right? That's their fear again. You're not doing anything wrong, just their fear. So if you can accept them in their fear, understanding that it's their fear, it makes it a whole lot easier to let them be how they're being.
Yes, yes. And it's so, I love that. The more that I'm able to do that, I love that. And it's like, I go at it with a sense of curiosity, like, ooh, I wonder how, like you were talking about the novel and the story. Ooh, I wonder how this story ends. And knowing that they are pure positive beings of love and acceptance, they, you know, nothing, there's nothing wrong. It's all for them. It's all positive. It's all a good thing. It's a wonderful way to look at life.
And what happens is that it eases your own fear with them.
Yes.
Which makes it
yes.
easy to accept them, which makes the relationship yes. so much nicer, at least on your side of it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. yes.
Yeah. The idea that you can control them so that you can feel better never is going to work.
No.
Yeah. And it's going to build up animosity, and they're going to want to control that in you. And so it's it's an escalating, spiraling, momentum building, damaging, unhealthy way to engage in a relationship with another person, especially one you love.
Yeah.
And isn't it easier to be nice to strangers than the ones you love?
At times, yes.
Usually, yeah. Usually you're nicer. You're interested.
Yeah.
You're your best self, that sort of thing. Yeah.
yeah.
Because you're, one, not attached to them, and two, you want them to think you're a good person.
Right.
Yeah.
Less and less with the wanting them to think I'm a good person, but the not attachment part is,
Right. Yeah. So if you could be who you really are, around everyone, wouldn't that feel wonderful? And if you didn't care what they thought, because you understand that that comes from their own perception, you have no ability to control that, wouldn't that feel so much more freeing? And aren't you here to be free?
Yeah.
And isn't this the best way to be free? And if you're not doing this, aren't you being trapped?
Yeah.
In a game of control that can't work? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just saying.
Yeah. We're just saying.
This approach... got some merits.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good. Yeah. Well, is there anyone we've missed who would like to say something? Speak now or hold your peace until next Monday. Anyone? All right. Well, with that, we've had the most wonderful experience with you wonderful people, and we truly appreciate everything you have come here with. and your ability to share your inner, most torturous, most deepest, darkest secrets with us and 6 million others who are listening to this podcast right now. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.